Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lace up your pumps, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Jim's with me.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Hello.
And Luke is also here.
All right.
Oh, I am. Now, Jay Bothroyd has been showing off his new tattoo. It spells out love. We like that. We like love, don't we?
We're all about the love. We're lovers, not fighters.
Well, the L is represented by a handgun.
Oh, like an L-shaped handgun.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the O yeah. Is a hand grenade.
Nice.
The V is a flick knife. And the E is an AK-47. The meaning, apparently, according to Bothroyd, is that you have to fight for love, clearly by any means. So, I'd like to ask you, the Football Ramble, if you had a tattoo of someone or something from the incredible world of football, what would it be, Jim?
That's a baffling explanation, isn't it?
I don't think
we can move on from that straight away.
He also said in the interview, he ends the interview by saying, more than anything, it's artistic.
More than anything.
More than anything, you're an effing idiot.
Yeah. Certainly a mixed message. And what I would do is I would have a tattoo of Zinedine Zidane, but on my knee. I've got quite knobbly knees, yeah. So my knee would make like the baldness of his head.
Oh, I like that.
A sort of 3D tattoo.
And you have hair around the knee as well.
I have a Materazzi on the other one and occasionally knock them together.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Oh, ooh, strong start.
Yeah. Good.
An uncharacteristic strong start.
That was mine.
Well, you better think of another.
Except
one.
Except mine
then.
Was Dyer and Bowyer.
So you'd have Bowyer on your fist?
Yeah. No, I'd have...
Bowyer, as you said, you know, his face sort of contorted into a fist.
Yeah.
So. Who was trying to break him apart? Dyer and Bowyer? I'd have him on my hand.
I think, from what I remember, it was Pete, just desperate to not be embarrassed any longer.
David
Maybe
Batty.
I remembered it wrong.
Might have been Batty, yeah.
It wasn't Batty. Pete.
Could have been Batty. I would probably go for a full size... Peter Crouch tattoo, and then I'd look taller. If that makes any sense. Probably
I think
doesn't.
You know it doesn't make any sense.
No.
Good work,
very good.
Ambitious.
Yeah, I've always wanted to look taller, as the rap song goes. As the exact rap lyrics go.
Skilo.
I've always wanted to look taller.
Yeah.
Skilo.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't see that coming, Luke.
I would have a picture.
I just made it up while you were asking the question, because I didn't have one. So there you go.
Oh, you've...
Could have been
not
better.
Not trying.
Showing off. Behind the curtain there, Peter.
Can't wait for the game this week.
Yeah.
I'd go for a tattoo on my chest.
Yes.
Like Jed in Alan Partridge. Uh-huh. But of Luis Suarez. Mm-hmm. But in the style of the bloke from Twilight. Vampire, think about it, biting.
Ah, okay, right.
Ooh, we'll move on to that.
Yours were better than mine.
More than anything, it's artistic.
Yeah, it's because more than anything...
You're autistic.
I'm autistic.
I think... I don't, anywhere on my body, one of Sven...
You're quite hairy. You've got
yeah, you'd never
of,
find
it. You've got a hairy body. You can't say anywhere.
Yeah. One of Sven being hugged very, very tightly, gripped, if you like, by Tord Grip, both celebrating a goal... that De Rijs Vassell has scored for England.
Can I just say...
You sound, like, strangely serious about this. You're almost a little bit
like
excited.
Like you planned it out.
Look at this, Jim.
Have you got the flash at home?
Can I just say, as someone who's played in the same football team as Marcus, I have seen you naked.
Yeah.
You're a very hairy man.
Yeah.
I know for a fact,
yeah.
The only place you're going to be able to get that is on your bum cheeks.
That is naughty.
You could get Valderrama's face.
That's not a denial, I was going to say.
Valderrama's face on the penis, and the hair could be the hair.
Firstly, that's not true. And I don't like to discuss... such things. The listeners
well, you didn't,
will get,
I did.
They'll get all excited and they won't be able to hear about all the good football chat that we're about to come up with.
Good football chat, the Football Ramble.
The thing is, the people haven't heard this before, they're actually going to be expecting good football chat now and we're about to let them down.
No, I think the word's out.
Is it?
You've got a tattoo, haven't you, Luke?
I have, yeah.
What is it again?
With Pete Forever.
Pete Forever.
I won't say what it means.
Yeah.
Pete, have you got a tattoo?
Got loads.
Pete.
We've come at me, brah.
Dr. Zeus, the bad guy from Monkey Island. I'm not making that up.
It's not a guy. Yeah, he's a
legs.
He's a zombie pirate.
What about pirate LeChuck?
Is there a dog?
Is there a dog?
Is there a dog on your leg?
That's an important question that we should all ask ourselves.
Is
any
there
point.
A dog on your leg?
Is there a dog on my leg? No, there's not a dog on my leg.
Oh.
There's a chimpanzee on my leg.
Oh, okay.
He's
sorry.
Just pleased to see you.
Mm.
How stupid of me. Jim's got the points.
Well done, Jim.
We knew that from the offer. That was a good answer, Jim.
Thanks. Mine was a good answer too, but I thought Jim, he hasn't won them for a week or two. Let's go to the Premier League,
you maniac.
Nobody's a winner in this.
You are podcast power.
Well, Spurs
and
won.
Also Bailey.
Spurs were winners.
Yeah, they beat Manchester City
3-1 to me.
What a turnaround.
What a turnaround indeed. I think
a
great win for Spurs. The neutrals would have been very happy with that too, Jim.
Mm.
Samir Nasri, of course, he scored little so-and-so.
Well, I was thinking, not that I'm biased, that it would be 4-0 to City and that Nasri, Gal Clichy and Kylo Touré would score and then Emmanuel Adebayor would get an own goal, but it didn't happen.
It's almost like those players don't care about Arsenal anymore.
and
which
also,
is one thing they've got to cope with the current Arsenal bunch of players.
To be fair, Adebayor looked like he did really care about Arsenal, because
yeah.
as soon as he went off, it kind of all changed for Spurs, really, didn't it?
All change.
Adebayor's Bale's ball into Clint Dempsey.
It was sickening, wasn't it? It was just kind of like, nobody spotted it apart from Dempsey. Oh, good, yeah.
No, I think other people could spot it, but did not do it.
Oh, God.
Dempsey could see it more than the defence because of his eyes. His 360 fly eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, there it is.
It's a massive result for Spurs because they've been on a bit of a wobble, and traditionally they are very poor in April and May.
Going out of Europe as well would have knocked their confidence, or you would think it would have knocked their confidence, but it doesn't seem to have. That's one of the things Andrea Villas-Boas has given them, isn't it? There's a bit of steel there, a bit more belief than usual. They've wobbled, but they've not like fallen over like they have in the past.
I think in the first half, when City went 1-0 up, they looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah,
and you just thought,
well, they know that they can score goals.
Yeah, and you just thought, oh, this is going to take Spurs. It's going to be very, very tricky for them to get the ball back and then actually start doing something with it. But then Spurs in the second half, they did what they do
well,
better.
Well, Spurs changed it around. They brought on Huddleston, brought on Holtby, brought on Defoe, and it massively changed.
They did. Then they were looked much more creative. There were slips. They looked more dynamic.
Yeah.
And to be fair, as well, City have dropped off a little bit.
They have
very little for them to play for. Really,
well, it's very true.
But no, they've been in good form recently.
But they've not been spectacular, have they?
But to be honest with you, though, I mean. I think if they had have won, you know, they would have been 10 points behind Manchester United. Now I know it's highly unlikely, but Mancini will still drum it into them. Look, you know, we go until the league's won, kind of thing.
Mm.
And I mean, look at the way United capitulated last season. Yes, I think it's very highly unlikely, but while there's still a possibility, you've still got to keep going.
I mean Spurs have been a good team this season. Like I said, the stats are, I think, overall in the Premier League era, Spurs are 10th overall in April and 11th overall in May.
Mm.
So they do, and the last couple of seasons they've dropped off, haven't they, in the closing stages. So it's an important win for them. Arsenal have got an easier run in, but I actually think now, especially that, I mean, which we'll come on to in a minute, that last minute equaliser with Chelsea, they've got the Europa League to worry about. They've got quite a tough run in out of those three teams looking for third and fourth. I think they might just dip out actually.
Of the top four?
Yeah, Chelsea will, I think. Yeah, I think they're like most likely to.
Yeah, what a goal from Defoe, Pete.
Yeah, that's weirdly classic Defoe for me.
He just
knows exactly where the corner of the net is.
I don't know why he showed him onto his right foot.
Yeah, he just kind of stopped, didn't he?
It's like, smashes the ball in from so many angles up to Jermaine Defoe. I don't know why the defender, I forget who it was showing him onto his right, but he should be showing him down the line.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so easy for him.
And then, of course, Bale had to score, didn't he?
Yeah.
Lovely afternoon. What a finish. Little
yeah, it's a beautiful, yeah, it was a beautiful finish. I was surprised that he didn't get a hand to it.
I'm pretty sure Spurs and Chelsea have still got to play each other, so I imagine that'll be a huge match.
Yeah.
I hope.
Weeks, I think. That's going to be a huge match.
Well, I hope in that match AVB manages to tie his tie properly, and, you know, the knot was too low down on his chest for me. Because if you're going to wear a tie, wear a tie. But don't pull it. Don't pull on it.
You're not a naughty schoolboy that's rejecting authority by not wearing your tie properly.
I'm going to peanut him.
I was going to say, you love a peanut, don't you?
No, I've never actually done one.
Have you?
No, no.
Get him in your eye, actually, to be honest.
Get him in the atomic peanut.
Right, what's the...
Well, it squeezes,
you kill him.
So tight that it actually splits the atom and the kipper falls off.
Splits the atom?
Yeah.
The atom.
Maybe an
Pompey chat.
I was going to say, I don't like to see two things I don't like to see when a tie is involved.
Yeah.
Like, personally, it's just my own personal thing. I don't like to see a shirt untucked with a tie involved.
Yeah.
No,
I don't like to see a top button undone with a tie involved.
I don't mind the top button.
I'm a big fan of a collar bar. So I collarbar underneath
nice,
the tie.
Nice. Bit Boardwalk Empire.
Jim, I've seen you on stage with the tie and shirt untucked.
Yeah, but it's my dishevelled thing, isn't it?
No, I think it looks great.
Dishevelled thing. Lifestyle.
I need to shove that in personality.
I'd love to see a manager come out with a tie bar. That'd be magnificent, would you?
I don't know why they do.
What about a shoelace tie?
That'd be cracking. Big Sam.
Big Sam.
Phil
Brown. Yeah, sipping a whiskey.
Comedy yeah, Big Sam, definitely.
Sipping a lovely whiskey.
Call this player's varmint.
Spurs. Spurs on Spurs.
Have we had any American managers in the league? I don't think we have.
Mm-hmm. No.
Can Bruce you see Arena, get over here.
Get Bradley.
Get them all in. Get them all in. Liverpool v Chelsea was a superb game. Mm. Ended 2-2.
Plenty of talk about.
It just encapsulated everything Suarez is about.
He's a zombie.
Biting, handballing, scoring, setting up. Snakey runs.
he went on a run at one point, which was ridiculous. Yeah. We had about 8 players.
Yeah, no. But he really did. I mean, Oscar got the game going with a nice header. And then Sturridge came on with an immediate impact. Mm. It looked very lively indeed, and scored a great goal. It was a lovely move. That it was a great move, and it was good to see him score. And then Suarez, an unnecessary handball that gives away the penalty.
I liked what Guy Mowbray said. He said that it was on the BBC website. He said that Suarez went from hero to villain to hero in one half of football.
Yeah.
he's such a controversial character. I mean,
he loves it.
He absolutely does.
He's a heel. He's a pantomime villain. He's all of those things. He's a proper like bad guy.
And it's weird that you mention that, Jim, because I had to write something about the PFA shortlist last week, and I found myself writing, and it's controversial that Suarez has been included because of his off field antics. And I thought, hang on a minute, he hasn't had any off field antics. They're all on the field antics. Every single one of them are on the field. Yeah. You don't hear about what he's like in his personal life, do you?
No, you don't at all.
No,
but it's all on the field.
He just stays on the pitch.
Yeah.
I enjoyed Carragher's leap. Gigantic leap for the opening goal for Chelsea.
Oh, yeah.
Pathetic.
Yeah, it was a bit strange, wasn't it?
I'm not going to bother with this.
If that jump was directed more up, if the angle was correct, he'd have probably blocked it.
Looking every second of his 35 years.
Souness and Redknapp were confused about what Lucas was doing on the goal line. To me, it looked quite obvious. It looked like it was because it was a near post header, and Lucas was on the near post. He assumed that Oscar was going to flick the ball on, which would have been reasonable from that position, because that's what would normally happen.
Yeah.
So he went over there to cover that, and then obviously Oscar, amazing, sort of head it into the near corner. It was a great header.
Yeah,
you don't expect it from him, really.
No, you wouldn't. No.
Yeah, I saw you having a bit of a tête-à-tête, face-to-face punch up with Zonal Marking website.
That didn't happen.
Website.
Didn't happen. Got any more stories about things that didn't happen?
He disagreed and you disagreed. Yeah.
Oh dear.
What about the bite? Come on. What about the biting? Let's talk about
I was about to move on.
Biting and fighting, the biting. Suarez story.
I mean, Suarez, he bit Ivanovic, the tasty little Serb.
But he properly, like, grabbed his arm and went to, like, take a mouthful out of him.
It was really unnecessary.
Again, like a zombie.
Had a bit of Tevez about it, didn't it?
Yeah. Oh, Mascherano was the biter, was he not?
Yeah, but Tevez looks like he...
Yeah,
he looked like a man devouring a massive leg of something at a Renaissance fair.
he must have thought to himself, "What have I not done?"
He's done that before, though.
And then he went,
"How can I make this about me?"
Oh, he has bitten before, hasn't he?
Done everything. I'll start again at the start.
No, he went. "What have I not done? I've done everything. What did I enjoy most?" Yeah,
will he play again this season after that?
Well, he's got 2 match ban, hasn't he?
Well, he got 7 match ban for the
first bite,
Holland,
yeah.
Didn't he? So,
he'll probably get banned for more, surely.
That could be his last game in Liverpool.
Yeah.
There's only 4 games, league games left for them, and they've got nothing else to play.
So I'd imagine that's probably his last game in Liverpool.
He really enjoyed scoring that goal, though. And Sturridge with the setup.
Yeah.
Great play.
And the thing was, I mean, I know people have moaned about this, but this always happens. It's at least 6 minutes injury time, isn't it? It's not just 6 minutes because it's in the 7th minute.
Yeah, it's a minimum off.
Chelsea were dragging their heels all over the place and made a sub or two as well.
Yeah.
They definitely made at least one sub from memory.
Lampard came on.
So they
which you don't like to see. How important Frank Lampard is to that team. And, you know, he's
it's almost like Benitez undermining on purpose.
Yeah.
being used to run down the clock in a way that actually adds more time on.
But and you know, but it is kind of like shouting in Lampard's ear of what to do. What with the 1 minute I've got left?
Lampard begged to come on because he saw that people were eating.
That's an out of date joke. And
that really is.
I'd feel bad if I didn't make it though. Like it'd been a missed opportunity.
Yeah. Do you think we'll feel bad that you didn't?
Fine.
Nobody's. Well, not many people are happy. Two brilliant games on the weekend there. Let's go.
Oh, it was a Super Sunday, Marcus.
That was a Super Sunday.
Yeah.
I'd be happy for them at the end of it to have a big touchscreen they've got.
Yeah.
And say it's a Super Sunday. We've seen both the games. It has been super, and name it as such for the outgoing credits.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not to tell us what it is going
before.
To be.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
And on a misty day, Soupy Sunday.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was a Super Saturday also in the Premier League. QPR Stoke.
Oh, 7:30 PM kickoffs. Almost a 3 AM then. 7:30 PM kickoffs on a Saturday.
It would have been somewhere.
It's like the bloody 80s.
Nice to see.
QPR and Redknapp are all but down. Redknapp said that people who think QPR will come straight back up to the Premier League are talking rubbish.
I agree.
It's unrealistic. He also said that if you get the chance to build a team at the start of the year, then it's your team.
So and that's the real quiz. Then it's your team. Only then. That's what counts.
Basically, he can't be blamed for any of it.
No.
That's pretty much what he said.
Yeah.
In a roundabout way.
Last week, when they had a bad defeat, and again, they obviously really needed to win, he started calling the team they. He started going, they did this and they did that wrong. Yeah.
He's a dirty boy, isn't he? He'll be out the door. He'll be off. See you later.
I'll tell you something. There's a sad indictment. If you want to put it another way, QPR entertained Stoke at home, right?
Yeah. Tal Ben-Aim at left back.
They entertained.
Well, not only that, so Tal Ben-Aim plays, as Jim says, and Fabio's left out. Right.
That's absolutely crazy.
Stoke had won 1 in 10, I think, going into that.
Yeah.
Pulis was so confident he played 2 up front away from home. He normally plays 1 up front when they're going at home.
That's very true.
Admittedly, for balance, one of them was Cameron Jerome. I agree with that. But they were both strikers, they're both up front away from home.
I really enjoyed Walter's penalty that didn't count.
Oh,
he
yeah.
absolutely thundered the thing.
Yeah.
Like the referee had blown up well early, and I think Walters just went, I've started the run.
I've got no choice.
I flicked on the on switch for this howitzer.
Yeah. Rob, get out the way.
Put in the nuclear key passcode. Yeah. Can't go back on it now.
And then the second penalty stuck away beautifully as well.
Yeah, it was almost from the ridiculous to the sublime. He just sort of stroked it in. Yeah.
Oh no, it was still a hard hit. He always smashes his penalty.
Walters loves to miss a pen, doesn't he?
I don't think he does. He just does do it.
Yeah, he does do it.
There was only that one. He's a pretty good penalty taker. Obviously, there was.
Yeah,
that
he had that little period, didn't he?
No, he hit one over the bar. I can't remember.
He missed 2 in 1 game.
Mm. Sure.
Or did he score 2 own goals in 1 game?
I think it was 2 own goals and then he missed a penalty.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, he had a bad day.
He had a bad day, which just tarnished his good penalty taking ability, which I think is a shame. But Peter Crouch also scored.
And QPR still aren't rock bottom, so.
I think Peter Crouch
a successful season.
Peter Crouch nearly scored another worldly.
I did find it funny when Crouch scored and I thought. Oh, he's not celebrating against his old team. I thought, he'll never get to celebrate then. Yeah. That's the game. I really, really hate that.
Well, Sturridge did it.
What has he got to do with Chelsea?
Yeah.
Well, but it's out of respect to the teammates.
It's out of respect,
mate,
surely. Jim. I can understand if it's Henrik Larsson returning to Celtic, if it's
Thierry Henry returning
to Arsenal, yes. Yes,
Sturridge spent time at Chelsea, who never picked him. And they did pick him, they set him out on the wing, which he moaned about
in
the press.
He should have gone mental.
Yeah, yeah.
He should have absolutely loved that moment.
Yeah.
But Crouch, though, he got on loan there. He's played a bit. Oh, do me a favour.
Imagine
you're playing for that team now. You're meant to score. You wanted to score.
Imagine if Luis Suarez leaves Liverpool but stays within the Premier League and scores against them.
Exactly.
He'll celebrate.
Yeah. That, my man.
Yeah. You know where you are with Luis?
He'll answer Brendan Rodgers and peanut him.
Yeah, he will do. Even if he's wearing that jumper, he'll still manage to get his spindly hands.
As he did that, like Rogers would be like, "Lewis, call me." Yeah. And go to the camera. We're big mates.
So it's disrespectful to the supporters.
Yeah,
he loves the supporters.
Yeah.
So where the hell were we? Oh yeah, QPR and Stoke. Stoke obviously won that. QPR.
So QPR are down.
They're pretty much down. So Reading. I mean, they lost 2-1 to Norwich.
It's so just gloomy at Loftus Road, isn't it? After the game, the sort of Harry Redknapp interview, it's like that, you know, they've given up. You know, they know it's over.
I mean, one thing I would say is,
well, because Redknapp's told them.
Yeah,
you talk about the game specifically. I mean, Begovic made some decent saves.
Yeah, they weren't terrible.
And QPR did force it a bit. I mean, they started off quite brightly, but they got no. They've just got not enough quality about them. They're not and fairs to Redknapp to put it in balance. Tarat went off injured. They've had a few injuries. I mean, the Zamora thing was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So they have had it against them a bit.
Yeah, of course.
But all the money they've spent and all the sort of furore around it. I mean, they should be doing better. They're doing worse now under Redknapp than they were.
Yeah,
under
I mean Redknapp's tenure. It's just been an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah. And it has.
I didn't know.
Which is just the back end of his Spurs tenure and just sort of like him sort of making eyes at the England job. You make your own bed. You really do.
Someone who follows us on Twitter, I think his name is Chris Clark, but that's from memory, so apologies if I got that wrong. He said that when Redknapp was at Spurs, he kept saying to the press, "Oh, the fans here have never had it so good." And it looks like Redknapp's someone who never had it so good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I like that. Again, yeah. Lovely stuff from. We think Chris Clark.
The double C.
C squared.
Sunderland are up, surely.
Yeah.
I say up, they're staying up.
They're not getting promoted into. They're not getting into the Champions League.
Tell that to De Gea.
Yeah. he's taking his team there anyway. He's going along for the draw anyway.
Can he get to the end of this season without being banned? Because I'm not sure he can.
I know what you mean. It's just one bad result.
One good result? He's jumping around all over the place, pointing at away fans.
One boring result.
My slightly more specific prediction would be that at some point he will kick a water bottle into someone's face.
Yeah.
Probably an official.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hope. Well, we don't hope so. Well, it depends which official. it was a crazy moment with the back pass to Mignolet.
He should never got booked for that, should he? I don't think you can get booked.
No, but what other choice did he have? No, but he handled a back pass.
Keepers usually have the good sense to kind of palm it and then pick it up, instead of just picking it up.
But I think even if you touch it with your hand.
You can't do that. No, the rules are, you can't do
that. There's a rule that if it's coming at, speed enough and you'll concede a goal if you don't do it, you can save it effectively. No, and I think it was coming over at enough of a speed that would Mignolet. Saving it like that was justified.
I didn't think that was the law at all. I thought the law was you can't handle any sort of intentional back.
Yeah, no, I think that's
if
it.
To my knowledge, it is if it needs dealing with and there's no other option.
I just think it's one of those rules where it's just that massive grey area where it's just the interpretation of the referee going, was it deliberate?
No, but that clearly was deliberate. I think what you're talking about, Jim, is that. It's one of those ones where the defender is pretty close and he sticks a foot in and it's like, was it a pass back?
Like a reaction save.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when the referee, he probably just puts it down as it was a clearance and he didn't mean to. That was clearly a back pass.
The important point about it, though, is Mignolet was booked for that. And you can't, in the laws of the game, you can't be booked for that. So that yellow card. And Chris Kamara covered it on goals on Sunday as well.
You can't be booked for that.
You can't be booked for doing that, no.
Okay.
It's not in the laws that you can get booked and he shouldn't have been booked.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be overturned or what. Can they overturn yellow cards? I don't know if they do that, do they?
Surely they can.
Anyway, it's a good win for Sunderland.
Other than that, it's a 15-quid fine.
And that looks like a killer blow to Everton's chances now.
Yeah, that's again. I think Everton they've been a victim of having quite a small squad. they were brilliant against Arsenal in the week. They defended so well.
Fellaini was just like everywhere, wasn't he? Just working so hard.
Phil Jagielka was magnificent.
I didn't think Arsenal got an awful lot of protection from referees. No. Everton were kicking the crap out.
And Nitchaby was. I was worried about what was going to happen to the knees of that player. He's an absolute beast.
But up north you can kick people. Yeah. According to David Moyes. Is that true, Pete?
I said that, didn't they? Up north we it's called football. We do it all the time.
Yeah, we kick people. I can't wait for the World Cup to be held in Liverpool. then we've got a chance.
Yeah.
West Brom 1-1 Newcastle. Newcastle are looking they're safe.
Surely safe. It's a good point.
Especially as Wigan,
but we played terribly.
Wigan were beaten 2-0 by West Ham. Kevin Nolan scored his 100th career goal with a nice volley.
Yeah,
nice
set up by his very flatmate Andy Carroll.
They're having a good time, aren't they?
Those two. He's a very underrated footballer, and Kevin Nolan.
He is an excellent player.
Is that his 100th goal?
Yeah,
yes. Decent.
He knows how to play his position.
I think, is that right?
That's not his 100th Premier League goal.
No, I don't think so. I think he was down in the Championship.
He's got a lot in the
Championship. Of course, he was. Yeah. Jim.
Yeah, I was just going to say it's. I would have thought Wigan would be sort of flying a bit more, but they're not. This could be the season they go down.
Is it the cup final that's putting them off?
Well, maybe because are they assuming because they've managed to pull off a great escape in the last like 9,000 seasons in a row they'll be able to do it again?
Yeah,
he's getting complacent at the time where you really, really can't be.
He's probably between them and Villa now, and Villa have got Manchester United. Obviously, at the time of recording, that hasn't happened.
They play each other on the last of the season as well. Ooh, indeed.
Yeah, because I mean, the time record. So tomorrow night, from when we're playing Manchester United, could be champions. They wouldn't have against Villa, they're champions.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
City lost. And I mean, they are champions anyway.
And the goal difference is very close. I think it's only one goal in it between Villa and Wigan.
And Wigan are the team in the relegation zone at the moment, with a game in hand. Oh, they haven't got a game in hand. It's the same amount of games as Villa. They've got a game in hand of Newcastle.
I fancy a back heel, which everyone will say that was really important, but in reality it wasn't.
Right,
there we go.
And that's how it's going to pan out. Yeah. PFA Player of the Year nominees have been announced: with Robin van Persie, Gareth Bale, Juan Mata, Luis Suarez,
Speller overlooked again,
and Eden Hazard.
Lovely to see Carrick in there.
Yeah.
Even though his stats, like if you look at the assists and goals, he's much, much lower than the rest of them. But
I think Michu can feel hard done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's absolute disgrace.
If Michu played for a big team, he'd be in it.
Everyone was saying a lot of people were saying on Twitter, how is Michu not in there?
Yeah.
And the argument was, it's voted for by the clubs and all, and I think that makes it worse.
Yeah.
It shows there's more morals.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
but also, you know, it's one thing to play well in a decent team, and obviously he has got a decent team, but not to the levels of like your Manchester United's and your Chelsea's and your Man City's and stuff.
I mean, Michu should be one of the favourites to win it.
They've won a trophy.
Yeah,
this season.
He's been super.
He's been a massive part of that.
I'm actually really pissed off that he's not in there. But, I mean,
21 goals in his debut season and counting. Oh, Swansea are on the beach now, but he still could get a couple more.
Oh, dear.
He is in for young player though.
No.
No?
No, he's not in for it because I think he's what, 27? Is Meach?
Well, why have you put him down here then?
Sorry, that's a typo. Oh,
that's a huge typo. It's an entire name.
But who would you fancy for PFA player?
I think Bale. We'll surely get that.
Yeah, you got to, because Van Persie's gone through this barren patch at the wrong time, really.
I've just realised why I've put Michu down there. I put Michu, Zabaleta, Baines and Vertonghen were some of the names that...
Was that your own list?
Yeah, no, there were some of the names that people thought might have been on there.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, right.
Bainesy. We're not seeing Baines in there, isn't it?
Yeah. I think Leighton Baines has the highest chance creation rate in Europe by some distance.
Really?
Of any player.
From that position, or is it...
No, of any player.
At Goodison Park. Sorry, Jim, who do you fancy for it?
What, for the young player?
No. The
main one, I think it would be Gareth Bale.
And it's true, it's Hazard in there, really, because Hazard had a really quiet sort of couple of
months.
Yeah,
I was kind of shocked by that one.
I just think that's probably footballers going,
Who nutmegged me the most?
I forget that Hazard's only 22. He's been around for a little while.
To be fair, actually, the best way to do this would be I've have only QPR players do this.
Yeah.
They're the ones who've been put to the side.
How long have you got? Shortlist, you say?
What have Reading said?
who do we think then?
I think
Bale did a double.
Because even if Suarez is worthy of it, no way. Not after that afternoon.
No, but it's already been decided.
Oh, has it?
It's just not been announced.
Okay.
Well, maybe Bale will get young player and Suarez will get the main one, the grown up one.
I can see Bale getting both, actually.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
What about
Cristiano Ronaldo?
Benteke and Lukaku?
I'd give it to Bale just for today, to be honest.
No, I don't think Ronaldo did. I think he won young player and then the following season won...
It's definitely been one both.
Do you know who the only other player is?
Andy Gray.
Yeah, sadly.
Yeah.
It's the only other player to have won young player of the year and then the next season won.
Oh, the next season.
The same season. It's the same season.
Are you sure?
Yes, it's the same season.
All right. In my head, I'm just trying to diminish it somehow. So, yes. Right, let's go to the Championship. Cardiff are champions.
They've
not only gone up, they are champions.
That's brilliant.
Jim, you're happy?
Yeah, I am. Finally, they've done it.
Yeah.
I'm delighted about that.
Not their fans aren't happy though, are they? with the kit change and all that sort of crap.
I'd like to add my, because I think last week, I don't think I sort of spelled out my own sort of disagreement with the owners of Cardiff.
Well, it's an interesting philosophical question.
About the team colours.
Yeah, because
I just massively disagree with it.
I've seen the guy, I'm not sure if he's a sort of head of the Supporters Federation, he's certainly a massive Cardiff fan. He wrote a piece in The Guardian last week saying this weekend Cardiff will be promoted to the Premier League but I won't be there, and here's why. And it raises quite a lot of philosophical questions, because a big philosophical question, which is basically, what would you trade to get promotion to the Premier League? He was arguing that the club no longer feels like part of the community. They're called everyone calls them the Dragons now. They've changed the emblem, changed the kit colour, as you said, Pete.
It just seems quite needless.
It's absolutely needless, isn't it? Wasn't the idea that they felt it would be more appealing to an Asian market?
The owner essentially said, I won't do the deal. I mean, because Cardiff were in financial trouble, they certainly have been in financial trouble over the last few years. He said he wouldn't do the deal unless they agreed to change the kits to red, because red's a much more
it's a lucky colour,
yeah,
isn't
in
it,
Malaysia,
right? So it's associated
as, and that's where he wanted to sort of extend the brand, if you want to use a horrible phrase. So it does actually beg a few questions.
Well, I mean, clearly they've just been held over a barrel at the whim of someone who clearly wants a lot of control.
But
obviously if this was the case when they sold the club, they'd be like, no.
But the fans don't understand it at all.
But you know, I was out in Malaysia a few years ago. I saw no QPR shirts. I saw Chelsea, I saw Manchester United, I saw Arsenal. I didn't see any other, you know, I didn't see any sort of.
But I suppose they're arguing when they get to the Premier League, when they're going to be on the
challenge,
aren't
they?
And then the Malaysian football fans find out the colour are owned by a Malaysian, then it may wash up. That was just intentionally.
But Leeds United changed their kit, didn't they, in the 70s to the all white?
Did they?
Yeah, and to be more like Real Madrid.
Yeah, and Sunderland obviously became the Black Cats. I don't think they changed the nickname, did they? Or did they need a nickname or something? It was quite
strange. Nickname was like, wasn't it put to a poll or something?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's...
That's not as big a deal, though, is it?
I know it's not as big.
It's the shirt's colours. It's more like it wasn't, you know, nobody was involved in that decision. You know, it was just kind of like, oh, I'm doing this.
I should say, it is a big deal and it's a shame. I'm just saying that it has happened before. And like you say, Luke, it's a trade-off. What would Carlo Fred rather be in the Championship with serious financial trouble? Well, now they're in the Premier.
Some of them would probably take going back to grassroots and being a family community.
I'm sure they would.
Because they look down the road at Swansea, who are sort of partly fan-owned and doing things the right way, and they probably makes them feel like they've sold their soul to get the Premier League.
It depends who you talk to.
Look how quick the MK Dons, Wimbledon,
AFC
Wimbledon got clammed up there.
Let's not take credit away from the team, though. They've done brilliantly well. It's great for Craig Bellamy as well. Yeah,
I was in tears, wasn't he? Oh.
Love to see him back in the Premier League. He won't struggle celebrating against former teams.
Swansea Cardiff is going to be just monumental next season.
Cardiff, anyone? Thing.
Yeah.
Monday night kickoff. Sunday night.
Yeah. I'd quite like to be. We should go. Like, and you don't even have to go at the match. Just enjoy the Cardiff's a brilliant city.
Yeah,
a glorious city when you know something big's happening.
Yeah, which it will be. Every other Saturday afternoon now. Right, it always was in the
Because there's rumours that Pete Donald's in the
He's getting the season ticket.
Lock up your everythings.
No, seriously, you will steal them.
Yeah.
Proper kleptomania.
Set fire to them, have sex with them.
Yeah. He's an opportunist.
In that order.
Don't worry. he doesn't plan too much. Hull drew 0-0 with Bradford City. Bristol City, sorry. Surprising result. Hull need a win to make sure they finish second. So it looks as though they will. And Charlton beat Wolves 2-1. Last minute goal from Charlton, putting the pressure on Dean Saunders and his men. Peterborough lost and Barnsley. They're all on 51 points down there, Wolves, Peterborough and Barnsley.
It's really close.
Only a couple of weeks ago there were teams in the Championship that were in the hunt for the playoff spot but were not safe from relegation. It's a bit McDermott Leeds. They lost on the weekend and they said, oh, is it a bit bittersweet or something, that they said. Oh, good news and bad news. You're staying up, but you can't reach the playoffs. And McDonald went, no, it's all good news. We're staying up. And I thought, blimey, Leeds would surely look into trying to nick at a last minute playoffs.
But I think that's McDermott trying to just, you know, quell expectation, isn't it?
No, it is. But the point I'm making is it's unbelievable, that league, that there were teams who could have found themselves next season in the Premier League or League One, which is absolutely extraordinary.
Well, Burnley, I think, are 15th and they're 4 points off relegation. So Burnley are 15th at the end of April and could still get relegated. It's close.
How's
very
about
close.
That?
I'll tell you, that? Special word for Bolton. They've timed their run brilliantly.
They have, yeah.
They're a little wobble in between their run.
Well, Friedman's had a great time.
Yeah, doing really well.
No, Reading. They sort of like burst when they went.
And under Roy King.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was incredible.
Roy King took
Palace as well when Ian Dowie took them up.
There you go.
They Momentum.
Relegation candidates early on. We've
Mementorama.
Momentum.
Momentum Pictures. Film.
Should we go to League One?
Super Eddie Howe.
Oh, I tell you. He's gorgeous, isn't
Hollywood Eddie Howe.
The Cherries are up, currently top of the league. One, they beat Carlisle 3-1. Doncaster lost to Notts County 1-0. Doncaster dropped to second after a surprise loss against Sven's former side.
I'm Bournemouth not technically up because it's just like goal difference. They're 3 points up.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
sorry.
But I don't think they're technically up yet, but they pretty much are, yeah.
And Portsmouth won, didn't they?
3-0. Yeah, 19,000 in there was.
Oh!
For a relegated League One team.
It was a great day.
Brilliant, yeah, well, because obviously Pompey are now fan-owned, all but done, so that's good news.
And they've been able to take their 10 points this season rather than next
Correct.
Season as well.
Yeah, so we start on zero for next season. Which I know sounds like to you guys, sounds like a given, but to me, that's quite a new thing.
Yeah. It's like, oi.
Where's the one?
Yeah, the golf handicap's gone. So that's good.
Yeah. In League 2, Barnet beat Wycombe Wanderers 1-0. It was Barnet's last game at Underhill. They're home for 106 years. Edgar Davids played. Of course he did. They are 22nd.
Imagine if you didn't know that Edgar Davids was the manager. What?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're on 51 points. They're 22nd. At Wimbledon are on 50 points. They're 23rd. And Aldershot, 48 points, on 24th.
Edgar Davids is player coach at Barnet, right?
He is. Mm.
In the last minute of that game, they were 1-0 up. And Wickham got a penalty.
Yeah.
And the guy fucking saved it.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I mean, that's
a night out.
Yeah. It's still not up, are they? It's still not definitely saved.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's going to the last day. Barnet, they're away to sixth place Northampton Town. Northampton have made their home ground a real fortress this season, so that's going to be tricky.
But they're in the playoffs, whatever happens, Northampton.
They are in the playoffs, yeah. And then Wimbledon are at home to 12th place Fleetwood, which you would suggest that would be the easiest one of the three, because Aldershot are away to third place at Rotherham. So Barnet need to equal or better Wimbledon's results. So it's looking tricky.
You know, it's like 48 points, 50 points, 51 points. Can you imagine like a Premier League manager coming down and managing one of those teams and going, oh, well, yeah, we'll probably need about 37, 38 points this season?
I know, it's
going, shit, we need what? Bollocks.
Isn't it? The points.
I know there's more teams. Yeah, more
matches.
No,
you're right,
though. Like, two teams that are in the worst format of those three.
Mm. Do you know who else plays for Barnet?
Who's that?
Beattie. Who? Craig Beattie.
Does he really?
He does, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did. Huh. Yeah, interesting. Doesn't play too much, I don't think.
No.
He's completed football.
Won't keep his shirt on.
He's achieved his goal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He doesn't need to score anymore.
No, indeed. There were ugly scenes down at the conference. Despite Mansfield Town winning the league, they beat Wrexham 1-0. So 1-0 to well done to them.
Yeah, the manager's going to be doing donuts in his Aston Martin. Remember, he won that Aston Martin off of the chairman.
Oh yeah, they got promoted as well. Amazing.
Oh, before we leave League 2, Gillingham.
Oh, the Gills.
We've got to mention Martin Allen.
Yeah, he went mental.
He had a meltdown.
No, he remained mental.
Yeah.
He was going on about that he's the worst Allen in the Allen family.
I'll put it at the end.
Yeah, okay, good. That'll save
us. I smell a sitcom. One thing I would say is I really want to make people aware of this, because not everyone knows. Every single male member of the Allen family is a professional footballer.
Mm. It's incredible.
So Martin Allen's a professional footballer. His cousins, Paul Allen, Brad Allen, and Clive Allen, who we all know, a bit older, played years gone by. Mm. Yeah. Martin Allen's uncle, Les Allen, also played. His dad played as a professional footballer. His son plays for Gillingham at the moment, and his three nephews play for Sheffield Wednesday and Oxford United. So basically every single member of that family is a footballer.
Mm, bit of pressure.
Feel like the Spellers.
We're not really.
Nothing at all like the Moors.
Anyway, back to the conference. There were horrible scenes at Kidderminster. They beat Stockport County 4-0. They can't catch Mansfield, but they do finish second. But there was severe crowd trouble that interrupted the game. The match was suspended by 31 minutes when some Stockport fans ran onto the pitch as Kidderminster went 1-0 up and started throwing punches at players from both teams.
It's just mindless.
I know they've had a shitty time. The proper free fall, you know, they've gone down three times in it. I think they've gone down twice or something in as many seasons.
Stockport
terrible.
One below the Premier League.
Yeah.
Are they not, or something?
Stockport. I remember Gates had, I think, played a couple of matches at Victoria Park at Hartlepool, and I remember a Stockport fan only like last week punching a steward. Like they haven't got the best reputation in the world.
Why take it out on a steward?
They've had a terrible time, as Pete's touched on. The thing is, though, the club I support's also had a terrible time. It doesn't mean you should run on the pitch punching people.
No. Well,
I think it in a secluded alley.
Yeah, I'll wait outside.
Do it in a lay-by.
Down the stables at night. Beat up a horse.
Kidderminster basically said that you're not allowed to bring your chairman to Stockport County. They weren't allowed to bring their own chairman.
The chairman was quite punchy Did he say it was like Kidderminster's fault?
He blamed you.
Because he wasn't allowed at the match, that's why.
Ryan McKnight, he said the home side should be held accountable for it all. He said they are totally to blame. They made my supporters thrive.
Marionette.
He said the game should have been all ticket and it wasn't policed inside the ground. Oh dear.
Stewards haven't had the best of a couple of weeks, have
it's
they?
Been no, very punchy.
Very punchy.
Scary.
How good
the
was
80s
that?
Are back. How good, basically.
Yeah. How good was that explanation from that Newcastle fan who punched the horse?
Oh, God, that was magnificent.
It's the best interview I've ever seen.
I feed a fox.
Yeah.
My tough.
Have you ever seen Frost Nixon?
No. Better.
Yeah.
It's more entertaining.
Yeah, definitely.
I love it how, like.
Didn't he? He was ashamed of his own actions, wasn't he? And was basically saying because he's got a fish tank.
Yeah,
he said, "I've got to feed a fox
to punch animals."
He started saying about, "Well, a fox comes in the garden every night, I feed it." And then he just went, he cut away to a fish tank and he just went, a fish tank.
He looked like Nigel Mansell, which made me laugh.
I like he seems to think he's got a fox as a pet.
Yeah, but that makes it, no, I do, that's a,
comes through the fox flap.
That's the Canio saying his mates with Chris Bell.
Yeah, that's absolutely. He also said that he had a scarf over his face because his filling fell out and the cold weather was helping his mouth.
I love how people's minds work. You know, you put a camera in front of him, right, and he craps himself. You put a policeman on a horse.
Just refuse to talk. You don't have to give those interviews.
Just don't punch animals.
In the interview, he was saying, I'm worried about my job. So don't do the interview then. Keep your head down.
I'm worried about your dog. What do you do? I work in a stable. Shit.
Well, actually, it wasn't his job. He was unemployed. and we're probably not going to find another job.
It's not, what are you doing on telly then?
Yeah. I mean, it's hardly sort of like a brilliant calling card, is it?
No.
Did you go to the job?
Well, he can look after foxes very well.
He goes to a job with a scarf around his head. Get out.
Mr. Smith, thanks for popping in. Do you mind telling us what you've been up to when you've been on the pod? Did you see me on the telly? Good.
I wouldn't have known what he looked like because in the footage he had a scarf on his face.
And that's the point.
Doing the interview means that everyone knows what he looks like.
Exactly. Can you do night shifts? No, I've got to feed the fox. I've let me family down. I love the idea of that news being broken tonight. He's fucking punched another fucking horse.
I just like the idea that him
making us look so fucking stupid.
Feeding a fox is a euphemism for his horse punching fetish.
Yeah, like it makes up.
Oh, sorry, I'm really tired there because I was up feeding the fox. Do you mean horse punching? Yes.
Yeah. I'm as shocked as you. I've got a pet fox.
Apologies to anyone thugs. From the north of England.
Anybody who listens to that,
apart from Pete,
and the guy who did that. Yeah. Let's briefly go to the SPL. Celtic have won the league.
Whee.
Oh, it looked so tight beginning.
4-1 in the end, was it?
At the start of August, it was so tight. but yeah, they did. They beat Inverness Cali. Oh, that'll hurt Butcher.
Yeah. 15 points clear at the top. They won the league by 15 points.
Yeah.
Which is a close one, really, by Scottish standards.
Well, they did speed up at the end. But mate, for a while.
The real story is the Gorgie boys.
They won.
So far down the pecking order, though.
Ah, well, you know, what's the difference between ninth and second in the SPL?
Exactly.
They're still polishing
what's that?
They're still polishing the cup.
Yeah, exactly. That'll do. That'll do. Right, what are we going to do here? We're going to go to La Liga quickly.
Yes, please.
Barcelona, they won 1-0. Talk of in Spain from Guillaume Balaguer on Sky Sports saying that the Falcao going to Manchester United. Big rumours of that. And it may depend on whether United can sell Wayne Rooney.
I'd like to see him go to United. I'll tell you what, if United can get rid of Rooney and get him Falcao, that's a great summer for them.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk of Rooney going to PSG, which Ferguson has poo-pooed. But I don't know, Falcao, Van Persie, Chicharito, Welbeck.
Pretty good at it.
Falcao would be the pick of the bunch.
Right? Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, no, but that is just magnificent.
Falcao and Van Persie just behind him. Lovely old
job. Horrifying.
Falcao would be a 30-goal season of in the Premier League.
Oh, big time.
Big time. Real Madrid, they beat Betis 3-1. Marino says he's happy Madrid. He wants to win the double before he leaves. Mm-hmm. Is he going to do it, though?
He was chipping off about Jurgen Klopp as well, wasn't he? He started that one up. It's so obvious now. I don't know why other managers raised the price to it.
I don't know why more
managers don't do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Get in there early.
Yeah. Well, he said that. I've said a little bit about Dortmund, and that's enough. Since the draw, Klopp talks every day, and then Klopp says because Mourinho went to watch Dortmund beat Greuther Fürth 6-1.
There's no point doing.
Well, he said it was a waste of time. He said Mourinho will return home with reports that will be useless to him in 2 weeks' time. He left after 5-0 and didn't see our weaknesses. But if he wanted to see whether Mario Götze can play on the left, he can call me.
Hi, guy.
Hello, is that Rick? Yes, he can. That was the shortest conversation ever.
Look on the internet. Yeah. Barca's opponents in the semi-final of the Champions League, Bayern Munich, beat Hannover 96 6-1 on the week, and a record-breaking 26th a Bundesliga win moves them onto a new record points tally of 81 four matches to play.
I wouldn't put it past them winning the La Liga as well.
Yeah, I was going to say they're going to win all the leagues. Jupp Hunk said something that It's just it's scary for anybody else who's got the paper on. He said the players show that there is no B team, just one A team.
Like, yeah. No, but the way they have just been demolishing all comers as well, it is scary. They have not dropped off at all. It's so impressive.
Hikes wants to go out of a big bang.
Absolutely, they've absolutely roasted that league. A lot of teams, you know, Celtic, Bayern, Manchester United, Barcelona, they've all romped home. Shall I give you a little Romania update? See what's going on in Romania?
I thought you were going to tell us about Tony Christmas's goal.
Well, I was going to leave that till after.
Oh, sorry.
Because I thought that was a bit of link.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Look out for that, guys.
Yeah. Look out for the link, guys. Come on.
Stoya are way out in front, very close to wrapping up the league, with many games to spare in Romania. That's all I've got to say on that.
Or is it?
Holes!
Does anyone else have any opinions on this one?
Thought you'd never ruddy ass. I saw this in the Send Dunn column that Gigi Becali has instructed the manager of Stoy to toy with opponents. He said, let's mock them. Arrogance in all we do. Arrogance for years to come. Continual arrogance.
Was that on his birth certificate?
Jesus. Absolutely glorious.
Brilliant.
But the wife of the coach, head coach at Stoya, said in the press recently, I pray to God my husband can get a job away from here. This league is dirty, rotten from the roots, full of criminals who love being on TV. I think there's some names. Cannot stand so much dirt. And Becali responded swiftly by simply stating, strong men do not listen to their wives.
Strong men are frequently dickheads.
You know, but the funny thing
that in the bath.
Strong men don't get dinner.
When I saw the quote, I thought, oh, blimey, what's he said now? And I looked at it and I just thought, oh, only sexism.
It's that bad. Benefit's not too bad.
It is an improvement. Anyway. Oh dear. And then we'll quickly finish going to Serie A. Udinese won, Lazio nil. Di Natale, a ramble favourite, Antonio Di Natale, with Tony an acrobatic volley.
Balance, control, dispatch, good night.
Wasn't the best volley of the month from him, but it was still a very good
one. That's very true. Shall we have a game, Pete?
Yes, we should. And once again, I haven't come up with any clues this week.
We
so,
got an email.
So you got an email?
No, we got an email.
You got an email. So, what do you mean?
We were on it.
Oh,
nuts. They've taken the law into their own hands with regards to naming your game.
Oh, have they now? Right, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, do you want the game first? From Billy Bob on the forum.
Go on.
Yeah.
Right, he's come up with, I think it's the second QI-related game that we've brought you, but I don't mind because he's come up with some great clues. QI McDonker? Mendonca? Nice. QI Mendonca? Probably should have said it correctly. Yeah. some great clues here. Thank you very much, Billy Bob. I was born on April the 1st, 1969.
Oh, 2 years after. Oh, that's later.
I have played professionally for 13 clubs. A journeyman. I made 12 appearances in UEFA competition, scoring 3 goals in the Intertoto Cup. 13. I scored 10 goals in my first season in the Premier League.
Stop. Hernan Crespo?
No. No, it's but lovely to hear about him.
Stop. Is it Toro Andro Flo?
No, again, lovely name to remember.
Stop.
No, steady. Steady, Eddie. Give it a Marcus.
I was going to ask if it was Clive Mendonca.
No, it's not Clive Mendonca.
Want to check.
The only non-English club I have played for is Aberdeen.
Stop.
Who?
Dean Windass.
Steve Windass. Oh, nuts. Well, that was loads of clues there, yeah? There were some really good ones. I've had 243 appearances for Bradford City. When asked about being headbutted by Marlon King, I called the situation a storm in the teacup. I was shown 3 red cards in a single game. I scored the winning goal in the Championship playoff to help Hull City reach the top 5 for the first time in the club's history. I played alongside Benito Carbone at 2 different clubs.
Oh yeah.
Oh, imagine being able to say that.
Not too shoddy, is it?
There you go. Thanks for that, Mr. Forum Man.
Billy Bob.
Luke.
Correspondence time. One thing I would say is I wrote this before Luis Suarez bit another professional footballer, so I probably would have done something around Suarez if I had the time. But this week's question is, what do you think Michu will do to take his mind off being overlooked in the PFA Player of the Year shortlist?
What have we got? What have they said?
Rory Burns suggests that he's going to go to the PFA HQ and have De Guzman cross bricks so he can head them through the window. Ed Pemberton on the Twitter says, maybe you could pick up a Phillips screwdriver and finally get that wobbly ear of his fixed.
Nice. Celebration.
Hey.
Not an audio feature, that one. No. But yeah.
No, it works.
Does that person work for Phillips screwdrivers?
Potentially.
Odd bit of branding in there.
Yeah.
No, Phillips' head screwdriver is like a... Yeah. It's a cross...
Oh, is it not an actual brand name?
I think it possibly was at one point, maybe. I don't know why they call it Phillips.
Do a lot of DIY. Me.
And me.
Give us some more, more.
Joe Lynch says, maybe a slow flamenco of lament. And Richard Scott on the Facebook, learn how to use Microsoft Publisher to create a Michael Owen style brochure to attract a bigger club. And Stuart Shepherd says, go to the local park, feed the ducks, play on the swings, have a bit of Michu time. And I'll finish this off with Jerry Reese on the Twitter says, being Spanish, he's going to have to get used to being overlooked for things. It's an important part of his career development.
That's unnecessary.
Reasonable. Although he has had a call up, hasn't he? Recently.
He has indeed had a call up. Yeah.
I just think he would have just shrugged his shoulders and gone, yeah, your loss.
Yeah. I just polish my League Cup winners' medal.
Just score loads of goals all the time
and be handsome.
Yeah. Safe in the knowledge.
Let's be handsome. I think that's the motto for the Football Ramble, I think. Let's be handsome together.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. It's that time again where we do a profile.
Yes.
Hence the name.
Profile. It's the France 98 World Cup winning team.
Yay!
Oh my God. The Black, Blanc and Boer team. Meaning, obviously, black, white and... North African or Arab, the last word means. Because it was a good mix of racial heritages of celebrating modern France. Mm.
Basically, people that weren't born in France.
Yeah, well, some of them were, Peter.
Yeah. So pipe the fuck down.
And show some respect to Stéphane Guivarch. Yeah. As I'm sure we will not do later on. He's going to get a mensch or two.
Yeah, you take Keegan to the hospital. I'm going to take Guivarch to the morgue.
Have a little respect for Lionel Charbonnier.
The names in this team are glorious. Name two, which are not.
Show a bit of regard for Alain Bogossian.
Right, no, he was all right.
Yeah, no, good player.
Well,
yeah.
Then,
yeah,
you're trying to get it.
They're
back,
all good players. They won the World Cup.
I'm going to give Lillian Thuram what's for.
Yeah. The 1998 World Cup was the 16th World Cup finals. The tournament kicked off on June 10th, 1998.
So about 31 years after the Summer of Love.
Yeah, it was. It was the second time France had hosted the finals. They'd beaten off competition from Morocco in the bidding process.
Unnecessary
turn
of phrase.
I would like to have seen the World Cup of Morocco in 1998.
It's weird, isn't it, to think? And they were like the last two in the hat. I think Switzerland pulled out because it was deemed that they weren't ready for it.
And Morocco are?
Yeah.
Or were?
But I suppose you could argue the tournament wasn't as big then.
Yeah, it was still a huge global event.
Well, I thought that was kind of...
It's the World Cup, Marcus. Yeah. Stop talking nonsense.
Tell it to Qatar. France had not participated at a World Cup since 1986, when Platini and co reached the semi-finals. France throughout the 80s had an excellent side. They narrowly missed out on the final itself with West Germany edging them out of two semi-finals in 82 and 86. They did win the Euros in 84. But when the 90s came around, the national team's fortunes changed. Mm-hmm. They failed to qualify for the Italian 90, went out the first round in Euro 92, and then infamously failed to qualify for USA 94 after that late Bulgaria winner in Paris.
But they already had Claire Fontaine.
Exactly.
In the late 80s, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know... Actually, I don't think too many of that side... came from Clairefontaine.
But it's still an important part of the development of the team.
True.
If you think back to the 90s when we were all nippers, France did seem like a bit of a joke. You know, now they seem like an international powerhouse because they've got to do so much, and they have the odd sort of hilarious scrape at a World Cup or whatnot. But they were confusing, weren't they?
Why are they so rubbish? Well, they were superb as you were in the 80s. Ooh, Jim. They were superb in the 80s, and as you say, in the 90s. Well, you didn't think of them as a big side. It was Italy, Brazil and Germany, which of course still are.
Well, I mean, in fairness, the World Cup's the only thing they've won of note, isn't it?
And
Europe. Oh, we thought they won two European championships, didn't they? What am I talking about?
You see?
I take your point.
Yes, point taken. Gerard Houllier was succeeded by his assistant, Aimé Jacquet, who went about turning things around. In 1993, he got the job. France really needed a saint and saviour to build a new team and bring about a new hope to Les Bleus.
Houllier was massively important to that team, though, wasn't he? I mean, they had like a special medal made up for him and everything.
Yeah, he's an important figure in France football.
Yeah.
Mm. But Xhaka was the one who really grabbed the team and thought, right, a lot of changes need to be made here.
Yeah.
He got he phased out players like Ginola, Papin. He actually made Cantona captain and built the team around Cantona, but then obviously got a year ban. Mm. So,
but Hulé was mad at
Ginola.
Ginola, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we talked about that, didn't we? Yeah. In the Ginola profile. But Xhaka realised, as did everybody in France, that something needed to change big time. Mm. Because here was this side so good in the 80s, and they were just floundering. And he was the man to try and turn it around. And as I say, he was assistant to Hulé. And he brought in some of the younger players as well. He gave Zidane his first cap, for example.
Who?
A guy called Zinedine Zidane.
No.
He's in the Team Manager Hall of Fame.
Kilban.
And France's fortunes began to change. They topped their qualification group for Euro 96 and went into the tournament as one of the more fancied teams. They reached the semi-finals, and the French press and the French public began to think, hang on a minute, we've got quite a good side here, you know, and they were decent in the Euros. However, after a poor showing at Le Tournoi, where England romped home champions.
That's the real important part of this story.
If you remember nothing else. The press and the fans were calling for him to resign. I think that a lot of the fans were shouting at him in the grounds during that tournament. They were worried because they thought he was going to put a poor showing at home during the World Cup. And we've seen Brazil, haven't we?
Hmm.
Get rid of Menezes and then get in Scolari because they thought, bloody hell.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a panic.
It is quite a similar situation, actually, because there is a sense of panic in Brazil at the moment. You would think they'd be really confident going into this and looking forward to it, especially with the side they've got and, you know, the fact they've got the World Cup coming and what a brilliant thing that is for the country. But no, I think this is quite common, isn't it?
Yeah.
The pressure is so huge that you have to get it right.
And England were kind of a little bit the same in Euro 96, having failed to qualify for USA 94. We thought under, you know, a Venables, I thought, bloody hell, there were some really poor showings in friendlies beforehand.
Mm. Like a draw against like a Hong Kong select. 11
before.
No, I think they won 1-0. Soles got the goal. Oh, okay, right. Yeah. But I remember it being a poor performance.
Very uninspiring.
Yeah, but you know, France didn't even have skin of a deal and Brody like we did.
But as I say, they did have a good showing at Euro 96, so there was a bit of hope, but then the tournoi. And he was lampooned, dare I say, old Xhaka. You know, and when you get lampooned, you know you're in trouble. So the World Cup came around, and there was a little bit of worry in the French public's minds about what was going to happen. Now, if you look at some of the names in that squad, you think, what on earth were you worried about? Because, of course, this tournament was the making, or certainly the realisation for a lot of players that they were superb and went on to achieve greater things. A couple of the goalkeepers they had were Barthez, who was great, and Lamar was on the bench, the older pair of hands. At the back, Lizarazu, Laurent Blanc, Desailly, Thuram, Leboeuf. Yeah.
Do you know that Lizarazu has gone on to be a European Jiu-Jitsu champion since retiring from football?
Wow.
Crazy.
That's better than the Arian Dazou thing last week.
Oh yeah? Get a load of this.
They should team up. There's a good cop, bad cop.
Brilliant.
How about this for a midfield? Vieira, Deschamps, Zidane, Petit, Caramba, Pires.
Yeah.
And Djorkaeff would be kind of operating up front and behind. And then up front they had Henri, Trezeguet, Dugarry and Stefan Guivas.
Guivas not important to them though? Like,
he
did lead the line, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he was, he's like Brazil 82. Who's up front in Brazil 82? He's a bit of a lump. I can't remember his name, but they had all these great players.
And there you go.
Yeah.
What he's noted as one of the great Brazil sides.
Exactly.
You don't know his name.
But the forward was always slagged off a bit. But they were so good in midfield and stuff.
At that point, like, Caramba would play ahead of Vieira, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Vieira was still very young then.
He would, yeah.
Yeah, 22, I believe.
Mm. Now, the World Cup began with Brazil versus France. Brazil versus Scotland. France would have to wait for starting their campaign. And first up for the French was South Africa in Marseille.
Oh, big Phil Massinga.
Yeah.
Big Phil Massinga. A load of goals for South Africa to qualify in World Cup night.
It was quite a big moment for South Africa, that.
Of course.
But a straightforward 3-0 win calmed the nerves of the French faithful. Christophe Dugarry got their first goal of the tournament, an own goal, and then Thierry Henry.
There's a 90s bloke.
3 points.
Who's that? Christophe Dugarry. Birmingham Hall of Famer.
Next up for France was Saudi Arabia, who were thrashed 4-0. Henry got a brace, Trezeguet got one, and Lizarazu scored on one. He was finishing off a nice move.
And Zizou got sent off in that game, didn't he?
Well, Zizou gave us a little
inkling of what's to come.
Exactly. He was sent off for an unnecessary stamp on one of the Saudi players.
No,
there's no necessary stamp.
A stamp.
What did he say? Well, the Saudi man slag him off.
Yeah, yeah. Well, having a go.
Yeah, you would do that, wouldn't you? So they then ensured maximum points were achieved in their last group match against Denmark. They won 2-1, Djorkaeff penalty and Emmanuel Petit goal.
They love the red card, the French team.
Yeah. Michael Laudrup's penalty would be one of only two goals the French would concede in the whole tournament. That's how solid they were.
Not good enough. Who scored that penalty?
Big Michael Laudrup.
Excellent. Good to get a mensch from.
Yeah, of course. Now, the back four was superb for France in that tournament. Lizarazu, Desailly, Blanc and Thuram. Possibly one of the best back lines in recent World Cup history.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
And that's the amazing thing as well, is you do not think of that when you think of the France team at all. You think of those flowing, just really joyous attacking football. Mm. And those solid foundations. You know,
You're not getting through.
It's just teams just didn't seem to get that many chances against them, and it was all about cutting the ball out before it got to anybody. There wasn't the last ditch tackle.
Yeah, it's a sort of clinical efficiency that you almost didn't really notice them.
Yeah,
because they were so effective.
Yeah, and then we move on to Barthez was excellent throughout as well, I have to say. And then we move on to the midfield, as I say, and I mean Zidane was always in there. Petit, Deschamps just in front of the back four. Djorkaeff was great. I love Djorkaeff. Who's a fantastic player.
He sort of played just behind Grivas, didn't he?
Yeah.
Buzzing around.
The one criticism, as we said, was that the team lacked a real quality striker. Henry scored a few in the group, but he was often played on the wing, though.
Yeah, Henry had properly been converted to a striker. Yeah.
Were people not... I don't really know, it's a genuine question, but were people not demanding that, like, Henry or Trezeguet would play ahead of Grivas?
Yeah, well, Trezeguet, I think...
Because Grivas didn't score, did he?
The funny thing was that throughout the tournament, they did swap it around quite a bit. Because they could. They were so good at the back. They were so good in midfield. They knew they would get chances. They knew the midfielders would put away a few. So they did mix around, but Gouvache tended to be the one up front. Because Dugarry, I think, was probably going to be the main striker, but he got injured early on in the tournament. Yeah. We move on to the second round. They were up against Chilavert and Paraguay, and they were worried. Zidane's...
I miss my youth.
His suspension was for 2 matches, and he would miss this one. And I think that's when France realised how great he was, and they thought, crap, tended to be a little bit of worry throughout that tournament for reasons previously mentioned, and then they put a lot of hope into Dan. When they came against Paraguay, they were like, oh no, this could really go wrong. They'd seen things go wrong in the past against Bulgaria most notably, and then getting beat off the Czech Republic in Euro 96, they wouldn't have thought that would happen.
But thanks to Big Sepp, there was a golden goal. It wasn't there, but
it was Sepp just in charge of FIFA 98 around that time.
Oh no, but I'm pretty sure he was around for the golden goal type decision.
Yeah, he was. I think he was just. It would certainly have been Sepp's era. And Laurent Blanc fittingly scored the goal because he was such a hero to them. And that's when the French began to believe. Mm. They came up against Italy at the Stade de France in the quarterfinals.
Did Sepp not get the job for that World Cup? Wasn't it like his big thing for the? Wasn't the golden goal his big initiative for this World Cup?
I think so.
As an incoming, I might be wrong.
I do remember there was everyone was praising how the referees were performing, and then he went, they're being too lenient, we need more yellow cards, and then suddenly everyone started moaning about the referee, and it was overnight it really happened. That match between France and Italy was refereed by Hugh Dallas.
Oh yeah,
Scotsman. Yeah.
Him of the coin.
Sure. The match was a stalemate and went to penalties. Lizarazu was the only Frenchman not to score, but Demetrio Albertini missed.
Yeah, which was surprising, really.
Oh, we don't like to see that.
And Luigi Di Biagio.
Di Biagio missed for Italy. And so France triumphantly marched on. And I think that's the moment, isn't it, when France thought, it's up. This really could be ours. And a penalty shootout win often does that.
Italy had a good team. I mean, they managed by Cesare Maldini. That all sorts of decent
Roberto
players.
Baggio
was involved. Yeah. Christian Vieri up front.
Mm.
Yeah.
So that's when they really start to believe. And also, they played Croatia in the semi-final. On paper, that was a favourable draw, considering
just on that quarter-final, Brazil won the other. Just on that quarter-final, Italy's back line was Giuseppe Bergami, Fabio Cannavaro, Alessandro Costa Curta, and Paolo Maldini with Pagliuca in goal. Mm. It's no wonder no fucking scored.
It was destined to be a new one.
They could still be playing now.
Yeah. We're going to practice penalties, boys. So they played Croatia in the semi-final.
Who had beaten Germany, by the way?
This was a golden period for Croatia.
What a team they were!
They had a great side.
Well, in fact, I think we've put them in the England.
We did last season. Yeah, Davor Suker scored just after half time, and the Stade de France was silenced. And I think everyone in France was probably thinking, ah, we've believed, and it's the hope that kills you, as we've said.
For a minute, because Turan went straight up there for the score.
Exactly.
Didn't he? Yeah.
It was only for a minute, and surely that was like, oh, hang on a minute, this really is our time.
He just went into another state, didn't he? He didn't even remember scoring those goals. Just suddenly, he'd made a mistake, and then like he blinked, and it was 2-1, and he'd done it all, and it was
in
this frenzy.
Because like, over 140 caps for France, two goals, both in the semi-final, on home territory, to go through to the final.
Absolutely glorious.
And then there was a vicious Laurent Blanc assault on Slaven Bilic. A vicious assault.
I mean, Laurent Blanc was magnificent in that tournament, and then he gets sent off for a little push on Slaven Bilic.
Uses full title, Rombert Axeman.
Rawbauer, isn't it?
Rawbauer. Sorry, not Robert.
Rombert.
Yeah,
French.
Bilic.
You're French.
You silly sausage. And he robbed the influential centre-back of his place in the final, which was gutting.
It's outrageous. It should have been sorted out. It should have been overturned, because Bilic made a massive meal of it. He dived, holding his face, with no need to do so. For younger listeners who wouldn't have seen it, it was a disgrace, because because
Bilic is brilliant.
Yeah, because Blanc should have played in the final, and it was robbed from him in his home country, you know, when they lifted the World Cup. And how bittersweet is that? You know, it's absolutely outrageous.
And he used to kiss Fabien Barthez on the head before every game.
Exactly,
little ritual. Frank Leboeuf would fill in.
The beef, happily. The deputy.
Yeah, exactly. Another bald man. And in the final, France came up against Brazil. Brazil had a good tournament up then. In the previous rounds, their flair play from the likes of Ronaldo, Rivaldo, Danielson, and the rest had really sort of wowed the tournament.
Something wasn't quite right, was it?
Before the kickoff, there was a strange turn of events, Jim, which saw Ronaldo's name missing from the starting lineup. And everyone was like, what? And I remember Motson going absolutely outstanding. he's not on the team sheet. He's been handed in. Ronaldo's name is not on the team sheet. And all
at the time, everyone was like, what?
Well, of course they were. Because Ronaldo was, I think he was the best player at the tournament. I think he was voted. And Edmundo was in his place.
Yeah.
As much as I'd love to have seen that. I mean, Edmundo did feature, he came on. But everyone was like, what the hell's going on? There's been no injury talk or anything. And then it later came out that there's all sorts of conspiracy theories. He'd had a fit the night before. Roberto Carlos had saved his life. Nike were putting pressure on them to play. I mean, all sorts of things.
There's a great talk. There's talk of that in the Alex Bales book about Brazilian football.
Right.
Well, they actually had the public inquiry after that World Cup.
Yeah.
About why Brazil didn't win it. And apparently, it got to the ridiculous stage where, like, these. Like, I think Roberto Carlos said he was called up into the dock in the courtroom, and the prosecution barrister or whatever was going to him. And so when Zidane scored that header, you were supposed to be marking him, so why didn't you mark him?
Oh, no, he went through his legs, I think.
Roberto Carlos was like, this is ridiculous. This is the court of law. Why are you asking me this? Because they wanted to get to the bottom of Ronaldo apparently not being fit to play, but Nike putting so much pressure on him to play. And he didn't even get subbed off, did he? No. He was all over the place.
He was just not at the races. And he was so electric at the start of that tournament.
He almost looked like he'd been drugged.
Yeah, you know that's right, yeah. He should never have played.
No.
And
he scored the only goal in the semi, didn't he, against Holland.
Against Holland, yeah. Lovely goal it was, too. Yeah.
So nobody ever got to the bottom of that?
Well, I think there was...
There were differences. Very, very legally sensitive still now, I think.
Indeed. But anyway, Jacquet had set up his midfield with Deschamps sitting in front of the back four. Carambeau in front of him was Zidane and Petit either side, and then Djorkaeff supporting Givarche up front. To be honest, had Ronaldo been at the races, I think France, with the home support, with such a strong lineup, would still...
They did absolutely blitz them as well. But they were brilliant.
You don't know how much... I mean, the thing is, though... you're probably
it's still
right,
a huge talk.
But Ronaldo pressing from the front, defending from the front, all over the place. That very good back line wouldn't be as confident with a fully fit and raring to go Ronaldo against them.
But I think the home advantage would have got France over the line.
But he was the best footballer in the world, Marcus.
He was true.
But they had Zidane. That's got to be factored in as well.
And Zidane got France going with a brace of headers.
Yeah.
A brace of headers in the final. Jacquet noted that Brazil weren't good at set pieces and exploited their balls off of them.
into their goals.
That's why he got sent off, didn't they? When they were
right at the end. Right.
No, he got sent off like before that, didn't he?
It was fairly late.
15
on.
Minutes from the end.
I think it was might have been.
But France scored another goal after that. Petit scored in the last minute.
Yeah, on the break. Vieira and Petit.
In the diamond. It's a lovely one, actually. It's a well worked goal, and they wrapped up and made a little piece of history. And
Arsenal won the World Cup that day, didn't they?
They win it every time.
Let me have it.
And even when it was 2-0, you could still see some of the French supporters going, oh no, please, after the sending off. And when that goal went in, all hell broke loose and the celebration started. And it was and probably forever will be France's finest football.
Oh, it was magnificent.
Yeah. And
you can't really top beating winning the World Cup on your home turf.
Exactly.
You
know? I mean,
against Brazil.
Yeah.
You know, they've reached the Euro. They've won the Euro Championship since, and they've reached another final. But and now considered one of the big boys off the back of that, as we said. But yeah, that really was their finest hour. And
no one really saw it coming. You know.
It's like a funny one, isn't it? When you look at the players and you look at the running, you just, I remember looking back at that tournament going, well, yeah, of course, it was just all set up for them.
Yeah,
you know, and they went and filled the boots that everybody wanted them to do. Whereas at the time, you're right. Even in the final, I thought, they'll come unstuck against Brazil. Yeah.
But the thing is, Brazil were obviously very good. Argentina had qualified well. Italy were fancy.
England were there.
Yeah,
England had a good. We had a good side.
Yeah,
very good side. Mm.
Not good enough.
Not good enough. but
David Beckham.
Aimé Jacquet.
10 brave lines and one stupid kid.
Aimé Jacquet.
That's what the son said.
Created such a togetherness in the French camp and given them that winning mentality that it was so, he is so important, really. And Deschamps, who was the captain of that France side, said, before making an important decision, Jacquet liked to canvass the opinions of his senior squad members. And in general, he was always ready to listen to his players. But once he had made his decision, he always took responsibility for it. He was always very attached to the notion of solidarity. Even in the most difficult moments when he was being attacked by the media, he never budged an inch, avoiding controversy in order to better protect his squad.
Bit like Domenech.
Very much laid the template.
Yeah.
Where there's blame, there's a claim.
Yeah. But it's true, Jacquet deserves all the credit in the world, really.
Because he wasn't manager for the Euro 2000, was he? That was Roger Lemaire.
That's right, yeah. Mm. And he got that team together, and my goodness, they won the World Cup.
They brought joy to us, actually. They were a very good team to
win. Yeah, they were.
Joy
pretty.
To the world.
Yeah.
Joy to the world. They're coming into the Dimensions.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Mais oui. Allez, très bleu. Bien, c'est vous la classe.
Oh, allez les bleus.
Givarch is in the Dimensions Hall of Fame, I can't believe it.
And that's why it's so brilliant.
Thin.
Yeah.
That is the end of the of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you had a good time. If you want to get in touch, the email address is shout@thefootballramble.com. Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, Jim.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Pipe the fuck down.
I shall do. Goodbye. Ladies and
gentlemen.
One more to get through and then we can start.
Babtridge. I won't do anymore.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's pro.
No time for love, Dr. Jones!
Oh, can we finish by eight?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's profile
gentlemen.
Time.
Gentlemen.
Ibrahim Al-Sharami, 23-year-old midfield player. Forward, actually, for Saudi Arabia under Carlos Alberto Pereira in the 1998 World Cup.
At the time,
he was playing for Al Ahly.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.